Well, here we are at the end of a year. And often when we've come to the end of a year, we look back on what's gone on in that year in our own lives. And for some of us, we might be rejoicing because we've had such a good year and things have gone really well for us for most of the time. And for others, it's often been a year of hardship or trouble or even devastation, even loss of loved ones, all of those sorts of things. It can come in a year. And so usually the reports over a year are mixed. But this year is so different because every person has been affected along the way by what we've gone through. We've all gone through something together that's affected everybody in all kinds of different ways. And sometimes it's been traumatic, and sometimes it's been a good time. We've seen separation and restriction. Some have enjoyed the separation, I know, because people have said to me, you know, we enjoyed being on our own as a family or spending more time together as a family, doing the things that you always wanted to do. But for others, it's been a devastating experience. For some, loss of livelihood, loneliness, fear, loss of loved ones even along the way. For those of us who come to church who really like meeting together and worshipping the Lord, we've hardly had any chance to do that at all. It hasn't been possible. And who'd have known when we were at this time last year what we would have faced in the new year to come, what we would have been going through in this year. And I want to ask you, does it make you more fearful for this coming new year because of what we've gone through that's been so strange? Does it really make you look and think, gosh, anything could happen because it's been so different, and there's a real fear inside for what may be up ahead? I want to read to you Psalm 23. You all probably know it so well. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honour to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honour me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. One of the things that I discovered in this year was a lovely song. I listened to Daybreak on Radio Merseyside on a Sunday morning, and they played the lovely song, and it's called Goodness of God. And usually I surprise Howard at the end of whatever I'm going to speak on with my song choice. Usually they're dead old and he hasn't even heard of them. And that surprises me. But this time when I asked a while ago for this song, Goodness of God, he hadn't heard it. So I surprised him with a new song. So that was really good. And we've sung it a few times since. But you know, it's an incredible song with incredible words. And it says this: I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And it says further down, your goodness is running after. It's running after me. And you know, so many of the words are in this Psalm 23. It seems almost as if the writer has based it on Psalm 23. This year for me has probably been the worst of my life, I would say. But I can honestly say, his goodness is running after me. When I look for the hand of God, if you like, in my situation, it's all over it. All over it. I will sing of the goodness of God. Even the world can look and see the goodness of God around at this difficult time that we've been through. We've celebrated people who've given their lives to help others, who've worked so hard and it has meant that they've lost their life. Doctors and nurses who've been prepared to go right in among the worst COVID patients and care for them, and they've lost their life. And we've celebrated people like that. We've celebrated people like Captain Sir Tom Moore, and he's one of only loads and loads of people who thought, what can I do? And he walked on his Zimmer frame, as you all know, at 100 years old, to try and raise some money for the NHS, and actually ended up raising 33 million odd pounds. So for people like him and all those who gave, I mean, because he could have walked and nobody would have given, all the goodness of people along the way. And we've celebrated our neighbours and our friends who've been prepared to do our shopping, look out for us along the way when we've needed help. And so there's been such a lot of help and goodness around in this very difficult and very hard time. We've seen the goodness of God, if you like, working through so many different people along the way. It's also been a time to slow down. This was the word for today on the 30th of November. And it was actually part of a social experiment that the Washington Post were doing in America. And it says this: at a metro station in Washington, D.C., on a cold January morning, a young violinist played several classical compositions as people rushed by. After 3 minutes, a middle-aged man slowed briefly and then he hurried away. 30 seconds later, the young man received his first dollar. A woman threw it in his case without stopping. 6 minutes later, a man leaned against a wall to listen for a few minutes. Then he looked at his watch and he walked on. After 10 minutes, a little boy stopped, but his mum hurried him along. Other kids did the same, but every parent, without exception, rushed them on. The young musician played for 45 minutes. And during that time, several people stopped and listened for a while, and 20 gave money as they walked past. He collected a total of $32, about £25 on the day. And when he stopped playing, nobody noticed or applauded. What's remarkable is this: the violinist was Joshua Bell, one of the world's greatest musicians. And he played some of the most intricate pieces ever written on a violin worth $3.5 million. 2 days before, he'd sold out at a Boston theatre where seats averaged $100 or about £80 to listen to him play the same music as he was playing at the metro station that morning, where only one person recognised him. So here's the question. If you've no time to stop and listen to one of the world's best musicians playing the finest music ever written on one of the most beautiful instruments ever made, what else are you missing as you barrel through life? What else are you missing? What else are we all missing? What have we missed so many times of the hand of God working in our lives, bringing mercies that are new every morning? What have we missed? We were just too busy to see it. Are you ready to face the future, knowing that the God who brought you through this last year is ready to take you on? Have you learned lessons and made adjustments that you might be better prepared for the year to come? Caleb was one of the spies that was sent out by Moses to spy out the land of Canaan. And it says this in Numbers 13 and verse 1. The Lord now said to Moses, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. And he sends out these people. And the idea was that they view the people in the land. What kinds of people are they? View the produce of the land and view the protection of the land, the protection of the towns and cities, to see how difficult it was to overcome. And so they were having a good all-round look, if you like. And then it tells us this in Numbers 13. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. "We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces." And they brought samples. "But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley." But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too." And so the spies bring back this really negative report. They confirm what Caleb and Joshua were saying about how great the land was, but they were looking at the problems. They were seeing only what couldn't be done in their eyes. So none of them ever saw the land that God had promised. They didn't have the faith to see what God could do for them. And so Caleb and Joshua were confined, if you like, to wander through the wilderness with them for 40 years because God had decided that they would not see his land. He had decided that they weren't going to be part of it. And so Joshua and Caleb and the children of Israel all wandered in the desert until that whole generation had died out. And then Joshua was ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And it says this in Joshua 14. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and I gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord your God. Now, as you can see, this is Caleb talking. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised for all of these 45 years since Moses made the promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And today I'm 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel now as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. And so here you've got this dear man, Caleb, who is not put off, you know, wandering around in the desert all those 40 years, knowing that he could have what God had promised, and being confined to wander in the desert, listening to the grumbling and the complaining that must have gone on for so long. But he's still on fire. He's still on fire. He's going around with them in circles, but he still knows what God can do. And he says, as it says in Numbers 14:24, you know, let's go at once. We can certainly conquer it. And he never loses that fire in his heart. And the Lord says of Caleb, Caleb, my servant, has a different kind of spirit. And he's one of my heroes. I just think, looking at his situation, he was an ordinary person, but with an extraordinary spirit in his heart. And that same spirit is available, if you like, to every single one of us. And I want to ask you, is that what the Lord's saying about you and me? That we have a different kind of spirit? That look at all of the trouble that's happened around us this past year. Look at the things that are going on in our lives, but we have a different kind of spirit. We've got a heart that's on fire, and we see a God that's a God of possibilities and not a God of problems. An overcoming spirit, if you like, not a spirit of fear. And God wants us to have that same overcoming spirit and not a spirit of fear. You know, I read, I can't remember who it was that had said it, but I read a couple of days ago this little quote: if you learn to fear the Lord, you will fear nothing else. And I think that is so true. If we truly fear the Lord, we will fear nothing else. The Lord's goodness was running after Caleb, and it ran after him all those years in the wilderness. And so he never lost heart, and he miraculously never lost strength either. I've got to admit, when lockdown number two came, I was getting weary. I was fed up of the fact that I couldn't just go in and see Eddie properly. I had to stare through a window, sometimes getting wet. You know, but God, his goodness was running after me and is running after me. And I learned to lean hard. You learn in hard times to lean hard on the Lord. Want to ask you, what have you learned? What have you learned about this difficult time? The new year is looming large. And the thing is, COVID hasn't gone away. In fact, if you're looking at the news, even today that I'm recording this, you know, we've got people queuing up at ports because no country will let us in. And we've got this fast spreading variation on this COVID virus. And so things haven't got better. Just when we thought, when the vaccine came out, that it might be coming to an end, we've had so much more bad news. And so I want to ask you, have you learned anything in this time that's going to take you through that? Caleb was the one who was wandering around with the people, but with a heart on fire for God. They met all kinds of problems in the wilderness, but his heart was on fire for God. And I want to ask you, do you see the problems that we're in? Can you see the problems that we're going to face in this new year? And are you filled with fear? Or can you see the possibilities in the Lord? Can you see what he can do? His goodness is running after each one of us. Are you ready? Are you ready for this new year? COVID has meant for a lot of us that we don't seem to have to make much effort to meet up. We can just zoom in. We don't even have to get dressed, to be honest. Are you comfortable watching from a distance? Have you exchanged the battlefield for the armchair? Caleb is a man who was ready, and God is calling us to get ready, to get out of the comfort zone and to be ready to walk on water. Some of us have settled. We're in the armchair. Have you got that Caleb spirit? With God, I can certainly do this, as he said. Or are you still in the wilderness, trying to make your mind up, overwhelmed by the problems and fearful of moving on? Do you see problems, or do you see possibilities? The goodness of God is running after you, and it's running after me, and he is there for us, whatever we're going to face in this coming new year. We need to be ready to move. Don't let's get comfortable. Let us get ready. Let us get ready with that spirit of Caleb to move out and to be prepared to fulfill our potential in him, because the problems won't last forever, but the possibilities are endless. Are you ready? Amen.